Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. Got a little tongue tied. God loves us. He's watching out for us in every way there is. Our God is good. We serve the living and true God. And He's right here with us in real time to help us. There's not a moment that He's not with us. The only problem is people have not been aware of the fact that God is truly with us. Emmanuel was the revealed name of Jesus when Isaiah first mentioned His coming in Isaiah chapter 7. We love God, and we heard that God is with us. We hear that God is omnipresent. And, you know, in Christian churches, people teach that God is omnipresent, but we don't always act like it. We know that God is watching us. And many times people act like, well, He's watching us. He's watching over us in case I do something bad. But and that mindset has prevailed more than the fact that He's watching over us to help us out. Now, God made true provisions, holy provisions, so that we could overcome our sins. The blood of Jesus washed away our sins. We don't have to be worried about what we're going to do wrong. We can focus on the Lord and serving Him and consider what we can do right. If we're made righteous like the Word of God said, then we can focus our attention, instead of not doing wrong, into how can I do better in life? How can I go forward in life? What can I learn to help me in life? All these things, I would rather see people consider what we can do in Him. And instead, people live with strongholds. They allow hindrances to stifle their life. And that's not of God. If God is here in real time to help us out and give us wisdom and knowledge and multiply His wisdom to us, help us train in the wisdom and Word of God, then why do we have to suffer with strongholds? Old habits, things that's hard to break, mindsets that's hard to shake and get rid of. It's really not hard at all. It's really not hard at all. If we just fill our heart with His Word, that's the first step. Being faithful with what He already said. And then ask Him questions and dialogue with Him and draw near to Him, see what He'll say. And He'll give you wisdom. You know, He'll evaluate what you can receive, what and how you'll receive it, and say things that will inspire you to learn everything you need to kill the problem. We don't have to live with nagging problems in the back of our mind. And nobody told me I could do this. I said, God's Word is too good. I'm not going to live my life. I didn't want to live my life barely getting by in my mind. If I was tempted, I wanted to kill. Let's kill the temptation once and for all so we can go on to bigger and better things. That was my mindset. And I don't know, I may think that way because I trained as a mechanic. When I used to go to mechanic school, the teacher would talk, you know, in an engine there's different systems within the same engine. You have an oiling system. You have a cooling system, the electrical system. You have the mechanical system, everything. And every day when I was sweep food giant, where I used to work, you don't have to think when you're sweeping. So I would meditate on how the engine worked. I would, just like I meditate on the Word of God, I would go through everything, every component, step by step. The path of the oil, for instance, all throughout the motor. Go through the crankshaft, and then the block, and then the cam, and then the rocker. Everything that, one thing after, I just put it together in my mind. So it is, that way when you hear a motor run, you can diagnose it properly. Well, I use the same principle in the Word of God. I receive what the Lord say. I think about it from different angles, from different aspects. I talk to the Lord about all my concerns. Not that I'm trying to get out of it, I just want to learn more. Gideon, he asked the Lord questions so he could stick with what God said. He had to believe that he was chosen to lead Israel in battle. And he was not a trained soldier. And he came, and in his own mind, he came from the least family in the smallest tribe. And he said, Lord, if this be you, he put out a fleece. He said, let the water be on the fleece only and the ground be dry. And then he said, let the ground be wet and the fleece be dry. And it happened. Now, we don't put our fleeces. But we can ask the Lord our concerns so that we can get it right. I want to serve God. I desire to do it right. And I don't know how. Sometimes I just don't know what to do. And so I ask him questions so that I can get on board with him. How can two people walk together unless they agree? And in order to agree with God, we have to learn principles. We have to learn what he's talking about. We have to learn his word. And I found out in doing so, you can actually destroy the strongholds of Satan. Now see, people don't have the same strongholds. Some people don't have a problem with greed, or they don't have a problem with lust, or they don't have a problem with pride. And some people do. They got to be first. They got to be known. When they walk in the room, they want the attention on them. So a person like that would have to unlearn the things that they picked up in the world. And they have to learn to put their attention on other people. They have to learn to give. A man that's stingy would have to learn to give, to heal. A man that's lustful will have to learn to love, to heal, and kill the problem. In fact, the love of God will help you kill every problem, because you can see them for what they is, what they are. You can see the problems for what they are. You can even realize where they started and how they started, and you can undo it. Now the Lord is there to give us all forms of wisdom so that we can do it. Even the things we're not used to doing, we can do what God said we can do. And we can receive it, we can learn it, we can be a blessing, we can overcome in life, we can transform our lives in the Word of God. We can transform our mind to have the mind, and we'll have the mind of Christ. With the mind of Christ, you can easily defeat Satan. And see, defeating Satan is the easy part. That's a cakewalk. After, you can submit your heart to God. If you can win the battle within, the battle is out. The battle without is a cakewalk. I'm serious. This is easier. In fact, it's easier than the cakewalk. You might not win the cakewalk, but you will win against Satan. Every time. If you win the battle within. See, the Word of God will help you destroy everything that's not of God. And your confessions can help. In the latter years, I started saying, everything that's not like God got to go. I don't want it anymore. I developed a hatred for things that lingers. And sometimes people just don't pay it attention, and it's still there lingering, but you don't realize it until you get in a crisis. Sometimes people have a problem fussing or even cursing, using profanity. And when they get mad enough, the words fly out. They haven't healed somewhere. God love them. They still saved. They still his people. But in the corner of their mind, they didn't deal with this problem. And sometimes you have to go and dig it out and destroy it. James said we shouldn't... A fountain don't bring out clean water and bitter water, fresh and salt. It shouldn't do that. It's supposed to be one or the other. It's supposed to be Worship should come out of our mouth. No matter what happens in the world, we can be at peace, and we can enjoy God's presence, and we can speak His words, His kindness, His understanding. We can live, we can thrive. It's just a mindset away. And it's easy. It's easy to do it God's way. He did all the hard stuff. All we're doing is receiving His word and not deep in our heart. And it'll take root. The word of God will take root in us at our will. Now, it's not going to happen by itself. Even if you read it, it won't happen unless you receive it. See, hearing the word of God helps. Reading the word of God helps. Seeing people live the life of God. Thinking on things that edify you. All that helps. But you have to be receptive to it. Every word of God, if we live in order to live by every word of God, every word that proceeds out of God's mouth, in order to live by, you have to receive it in you, and you have to speak it and act on it. It's not going to happen because you wish it would and because God wish it would. You got to receive it. It's got to be a part of you. And I found that to be an easier and better way to live. I don't like living with old worldly thoughts lingering. I don't like old worldly habits lingering around. You know, when I work on cars, I like a clean garage. I like everything in order. I work better, more efficient, and faster. But sometimes I don't get to clean up, and I have too much in there, too many things in the way, too many tools, too many parts, and it looked like a tornado came through. And if I don't, after I finish one job and prepare, if I don't get a chance to prepare for the next job, I'm working in chaos. And it happens. Everything happens when you're a mechanic. Because your schedule, sometimes it takes a day just to clean up like you want to. Well, so it is in life. You know, in a perfect world, you'll be able to just, you'll have gaps and breaks between your heavy assignments. But sometimes Jesus was about to go spend time with the Father, and here come a multitude over the hill, and they want to hear the word of God again. He just got in the city. He wanted to go refresh and spend time with the Father, and here come a multitude of people, and he have to minister to them, and then he'll feed them. And he fed the crowd more than once. And in a perfect situation, you can minister and then go spend time with the Father, rest your body, rest your mind, prepare for the next situation, the next move of God. But that doesn't always happen. My daddy used to pastor three churches. He preached at one church one Sunday and two churches the next Sunday. And whenever he would preach at St. Paul, that was the church he preached at one time. He had to go to Matchway out to St. Paul. But when he preached at the other church was further away. But he only preached one time that Sunday. And see, these people were farmers. They had to drive for miles to get to church anyway. So they were probably happy to go to church every other Sunday. But the times that he would preach one Sunday, he was more relaxed. But when he preached two Sundays, he'd be stirred up in the spirit. He preached at St. Paul that morning, then he'll go preach at Matchway, and then, it was a blessing to see him do it, but sometimes you don't get to refresh. Now, anytime you're doing God's work, and anytime people are hungry, they activate your anointing, and you can do things you normally couldn't do. But you have to rest your body. Your body is not like your spirit. Your spirit can never increase and continue, but your body slows down. That's why we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. See, men, it's not the problem has not been people are not growing. They're not growing like they could. It's hard to grow in the Lord. It's hard to learn things when you're distracted with weights and sin, or weights or sin. Weights are not always sin. And I'm going to explain that. Sin will beset you easily. But it mentioned weights first. Now, weights are things that you, loads that you're carrying that you don't have to carry. You can get rid of the weights by your choice, just like the sin by your choice. Things that hinder you. Looking at the challenge wrong. The challenge may not be a sin, but if you consider the challenge, it can beset you from learning. If you're looking at what you haven't done yet, if you're looking at inexperience, that can be a challenge against you, a weight. If you're doing other people's work, that's a weight. You're trying to help them, that's not a sin, but it's a weight. When they could be learning and doing their own things. We have to raise our children to be independent. Now, sometimes people don't. They want to dictate every part or direct every part of their children's lives, and they don't give. They don't let them excel because they lack confidence in the child. Or one time, the Lord gave me a writing that some mothers. And parents, they depend on their children's dependency. They want them in their life, so they want them around, and they try to govern every little thing and keep them at home. And that's not normal. I see so many people trying to raise their grandchildren, and there's nothing wrong with their children. And that's not right. That's not God's best. And it's not the grandparents' responsibility. But because the children decided to be sorry, they take their grandchildren to church, which is honorable. It's better than letting them die at home because their children too lazy to take them to church. It's better than nothing, but the children should be dependent. They should be independent and take responsibility. And in order for that to happen, you have to raise them that way. And sometimes, even if you raise them that way, they rebel. Or they go through a season of rebellion. It's optimal to raise children to be independent. To bear the load. And you have to train them with it. You have to give them responsibility so that they'll be used to working. I see so many children don't want to work. Even in my field, guys are not getting in the mechanic field because it's hard. It's brutal work. It's brutal. It's not easy. The bolts are tight. Cars can have problems. It's hard to figure out. You have to get a good night's sleep and keep a cool mind. You have to be a detective and you have to think, or it's hard work. But the more you learn, the easier it is. And people like an easy path. Sometimes you just gotta dig deep and not let things stump you. If you dig deep and learn, you'll overcome and life will be better. And then it will be easier and appropriate. But the weights, allowing things to waste your time, allowing things to distract you, they are weights. People that won't grow up, they are weights. People that, people knew when my dad got paid, and they would hang around the big money to borrow money from him on payday. My mother ran them off one time. Weights. Lay aside every weight. Don't let people be a weight. You're not helping them if you're paying their way, and there's nothing wrong with them. God will bless you if you help people that can't help themselves. And with that, he'll show you how to teach them to help themselves. Now, an elderly grandmother they can't get out anymore, you'll have to do for them. Now that's not a way, that's mercy. And God will grace you to help them. But not a sorry rascal that won't get up and go work. If you help him, God's gonna punish you. You know, I say that for a reason. I'm not gonna take time to explain that. But if you take time to help us, somebody just being sorry, God's not gonna bless that. And he might move you out of the way. That's a God problem. If they want to be sorry, let them starve. If there's nothing wrong with them, when they get hungry enough, they'll work. If they get cold enough, they'll work. They'll buy a house. Preacher, that sound mean. That's love, man. That's love. We need to be working in our healthy years. The day gonna come where you won't be able to work anymore. If Jesus tarry long enough, we get old, and you have to have things in place before that happens. And they do too. They need to, you know, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. And the strongholds of Satan can be easily destroyed by the wisdom and the word of God. Find the word of God that kills the problem. Don't go with when you're attacking Satan and you're taking back what's yours and you're destroying the works of darkness. Don't do it with the mindset that this is a lingering problem. The Lord taught me something. He said, I asked him a question, how long do we fight? He said, fight till you win and live in victory. And that's what you're gonna do. That's God's best. You fight until you win. And you live in victory. Once you defeat Satan, once you win, go back and learn some more of God's word so you can win in a great, you know, you, if once you get out of the woods and out of the problem, now go back and learn more so it'll be impossible for that problem to come back in your life ever. That's what I mean when I say kill the problem. In battle, in a war, the soldiers fight. They don't wound the soldiers, they kill the soldiers, and they don't have that problem anymore. And sometimes they wound the soldiers so that other ones will come see about it, and then they take out their friends. That's why we're in battle too. But we have to win by destroying the mindset that Satan's trying to impose on us. We're going to take back what he stole. We're going to undo what he's done. It's easy. It's easier to live without temptation than with temptation. It's easier to live and thrive in God if you kill the problem and not let it survive. We don't let the old mindset survive. We kill them, all of them, and live by every word of God. When you're free in your mind and heart, you become a candidate to learn greater things. And you can ask, you're at peace, you have, you're patient, you can focus on being patient, you can focus on the love of God, you can learn to love more, you can ask questions, so that God can teach you how to love even greater, in greater ways. And you can do things that normally you couldn't do. You can take, you're free. You laid aside the weights and the sin. It's easier to get, it's more important to get rid of the weights than the sin, because the sin, we already overcame. Jesus overcame sin. And what we have to do now, in other words, from the new birth on, overcoming sin is easy because it's not in your nature anymore if you're a Christian. You just have to learn some things and choose not to sin. Because Christians sin if they want to, not because they have to. We can live right without the law. We can live according to the love of God. We can fulfill the law because of what Jesus did in us. That's what I'm trying to say. A sinner, it's impossible for a sinner, but not for a Christian. Not for men and women of God, not for people of God, not for children of God. But we still have to lay it aside. And the weights, that's where the wisdom of God comes in. Ask the Lord, how do I get rid of my weights? Read the Proverbs. Read the teachings that Jesus taught. And renew your mind. Begin to live by the love of God. And learn to love. Do it on purpose. The love walk will make the difference. But all problems, everything, even the worst, the strongholds, they can be destroyed and never re-enter your life again. But the way you get them out, the way you drive them out, is the way you keep them out. And then you go back and ask the Lord wisdom so that you'll be fortified against it. Now, fort is a stronghold. You can build a stronghold against the problem that you once had. Instead of it being a strong, building a fortress against you, you can drive it out and build a fortress against it. And I learn these things. Sometimes I'm working on something now against doubt. I say I want to drive out every form of doubt so that when I lay hands on people, I'll have no trouble getting them healed. I want to be able to believe God for whatever he say. And I do it by confessions. I started confessing that I will do all that's in his heart. So that when he speaks to me, I'll be conditioned and trained to go forward in agreement with all that he say. Serving God is not an accident. You just don't accidentally obey God. It takes purpose. It takes effort. And it's doable. And the more you do it, look at what's happening. The laws of sowing and reaping are causing you to receive greater things in life. Because you're doing the right thing. You've gotten rid of your weights and your sins and all the strongholds that have been holding you back. You're free to learn. And you can learn anything you desire to learn. Jesus says, seek and you shall find. There is a promise with it. You don't just seek and nothing happens. You don't just knock and be ignored. Things are going to open up to you when you knock. You're going to find things when you seek. Doors are going to be open. God loves you. And you're going to gain greater wisdom. And it's good, folks. It's rich. God is too good to be misunderstood. Cold religion causes men to misunderstand. Cold religion causes men to settle for much less. And they're living with a stronghold that can be easily conquered. Now I'm out of time, but God is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life, helping you do all to stand. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.